Lord. And this morning I'm going to be studying from Genesis chapter 19. And if you have your Bible, you might want to turn over there. And we find how that here is the situation. The situation is that Lot and his family has great mercy bestowed upon them from God. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Why? Because this place is going to be destroyed. Don't want to be there. Why? It's going to be destroyed by the Lord. Listen. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and guess what Lot does? He's trying to do everything he can to get people to listen, especially his sons-in-laws. The Bible says he went out and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It's kind of like today, telling people the time's going to come when God's going to destroy the world. And the people will do what? They'll laugh at it, scoff at it. As Peter said, there were those who would be scoffing at it, saying that here the world is always standing just like it was. Yes, these men seemed as being mocking unto Lot. And when the morning arose, and then the angel hastened Lot and saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Guess what? If they had not been told that, they and stayed there, they likewise would have been destroyed in that city. And one thing that I thought was real interesting is, and while they lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and notice it, upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of the two daughters. These two angels have been sent by the Lord. And now then, here we find that Lot and his family, they're hesitating. They're lingering. And the Bible says the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him out of the city. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. They're out of the city. How they're out of the city. These two men, these angels, had taken them by the hand, each one of them. And notice how they had brought them out of that city. And now the Bible says, Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, he said, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto. It's just a little one. And so now, here's what Lot does. He's saying, All right, here we are. Let me go to this little city over there, Zoar. It's a very small one. And then I, my life shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thou. Escape thou, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But guess what? Here was a woman that didn't pay any attention. Here's a woman that must not have believed it. Because the Bible says, but his wife looked back. You mean just by looking back? Although she's out of the city, that she's going to be destroyed? Well, the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Let's notice some things. Number one, after receiving mercy from God, who sent two angels to Lot, what then do we find this woman doing? She's been out. She's out of the city. She's been delivered. Her hand has actually, secondly, held the hand of an angel. The men had taken her hand. They had brought her out of the city. Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine anyone, after having the mercy of God extended to them, and now holding the hand of an angel, after being given plain language, they were told to escape. Don't stay here. God's going to do something. And then, after being told, don't look back. Don't look behind you. What did she do? Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Our Lord was so concerned about this particular example. There are many things that the Lord did not refer back to. But if you go to the book of Luke, you can see the veracity of this account. In Luke chapter 17, 31, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Who wants their wives to be remembered like that? People who are not paying any attention to what God has to say, consider these scriptures that teach us not to look back. Remember in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and Jesus said to him, no man, no matter who it is, it doesn't make a difference who individual is. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What's Jesus saying? Don't look back. Begin serving Him and being faithful to Him. Peter now is talking to Jesus out as Jesus walked upon the water. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Let me come out and be with you. Let me walk on the water. And he said unto him, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? How did he do that? He had his focus and attention upon Jesus. He was doing what Jesus told him to do. Come. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. And he cried saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Yes, there are a lot of don'ts in the Bible. I'm going to talk about a few of them this morning. Next Sunday, we'll talk about some of the do's in the Bible. Don't look back was the statement made to this woman. But she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Number one, all of us are concerned about how we talk, surely. What we say. Could somebody call you or call me a talebearer, a gossiper? The Bible says, thou shalt not go up. In other words, don't do it. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Gossiping. Saying things you know in your heart you shouldn't be saying. Telling things. Sometimes not even true. But pushing these things or using one's mouth and saying things that would be called gossip. Tale bearer. In Proverbs 10 verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips and he that utters the slander is a fool. Over and over the Bible emphasizes you're going to have to give an account for what you say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. By thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's applicable to preachers. That's applicable to elders. That's applicable and applies to deacons. To every member, male and female. Your words God says, will you bring about justification on your part or condemnation? For by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. We don't want to hear the Lord say in that last day. I don't. Surely no one does. We need to be careful, so careful about our words. So don't be a talebearer, a gossiper. Number two, don't be a Demas. You know, it must have been a wonderful thing for Demas to send greetings to the churches and working hard in the kingdom of God. But that man came to the point where finally, what did he do? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said. Having done what? Here's a man who could be considered as one who had been spreading the gospel, teaching the truth, sending greetings to brethren and sisters in the Lord. And now then, the Bible says, having loved this present world. He gave up. He quit. Why? Because now he's loving the world. And yet, in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here's what John says, the apostle. If you love the world, you don't love God. What was the Demas? Demas, one who forsook and then loved this present world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We want to abide forever. I don't know how many funerals we've gone to recently. Some extremely close to us. Many of you have lost loved ones just like me. And you realize what a terrible thing it is to have to get adjusted to life without that loved one. I hope that your loved one was ready to go. Steve led us this morning in a song. When we all get to heaven, everybody's singing, when we all get to heaven. But is everybody on their way? Are we ready to meet the Lord? Demas was a man that needed to remember in Revelation 2 and verse 10, where the Bible says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Whom is God going to give the crown of life to? To the one that is faithful, true, even to the very end. No wonder Paul could say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Oh, we've quoted that verse time and time again. But you know what? Does it apply to you? Does it apply to me? Are we going to be faithful no matter what? No wonder the Bible tells us don't be like Demas. And don't be a person who sows discord among his brethren. One, in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, these six things doth the Lord hate. He hates them. And then he adds to this, yea, seven are abomination to him. In my class here just recently, I mentioned all the number of times in the Bible that the Bible speaks of God hating things. Look what he says. Proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be in that category. Why? God hates this. The Bible says, behold, how good and unpleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One faith, one baptism, one in God and Father above, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that was divided. He begged them not to be. He said, I want you all to do what? Speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't be a person who sows discord among the brethren. And don't be one that forsakes the assemblies. God tells us He wants us to be here. What do you do and what do I do whenever we deliberately, when we can be there and we're not? Well, in Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The psalmist wrote, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalms 122 and verse 1. Paul had it all right. He knew what life was all about. He knew that we must be faithful to God. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, he said. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Steve led us this morning in a beautiful song, The World Bible. We are the world's Bible. Listen again to some of those words that we just sung just a little while ago. The world's Bible. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in their way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. You are the world's Bible that we've sung about. Listen again. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and work. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? When they see you, when they see me, what do they see? Are they witnessing in this world a person? People who are not looking back like Lot's wife did. People that are looking forward. What if our hands are busy with other things than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His life should spurn? How can we hope to help Him and welcome His return? Yes, as the Apostle Paul writes, he says in Philippians chapter 3, here's the answer. Don't be like Lot's wife. Don't look back. A lot of don'ts. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that's yesterday. Get rid of all that's baggage. And Paul said, I'm doing that. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Are you? Lot's wife held the hand of one who had delivered her out of the city. God had mercy upon her. He brought her out. He told them to escape and agreed for Lot to go to Zoar. And here is a woman who had everything possible to bring about her deliverance. And what did she do? He said, escape! Don't look behind you! Escape. But she looked behind. She looked back. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. Things that we must not do. Listen to God. I was reading an article about a man who was very wealthy. He had millions of dollars in this old life. He was told that he was going to die. I guess maybe he could say even billions of dollars. He was 56 years of age. He knew that his death was imminent. He didn't know what day. But he knew that all the money in the world could not give him another day. It was interesting to read some things that he wrote before he died. Here's one of those things. Remembering that I'll be dead soon, he was 56 years old, is the most important thing to me now. I've even encountered to help I've ever been encountered to help me make the choices in life because almost everything, listen to this, almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death. Don't mean anything. Leaving only what is truly important. And he made this statement, and I conclude with it today. He said, if today were the last day of your life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? Think about it. If today was the last day of our lives, would we do what we plan to do today? Or would we make the adjustments? Would we make sure, like Hezekiah was told, set your house in order because you're going to die and you're not going to live. The lesson that God wants us to remember, I believe, from Genesis 19 was about a woman that He loved and had mercy on, willing to deliver her. All he asked her to do, just don't look back. But she did look back. And she did not escape then to Zoar. She was not able to continue a livelihood with her family because she became a pillar of salt. My friend, Jesus Christ wants you and I to live right in this life. He wants us to be ready to meet Him. And what a wonderful thing to know that the Bible teaches us that we will meet Him face to face in that great day. Don't look back. Look forward. Be ready to meet the Lord. Obey the gospel of Christ. Obey God. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess His name and be buried with your Lord in baptism, rising up to walk a new life. Be faithful to the end, and then just keep looking forward. When the day comes, when it is the last day of your life, remember, if today were the last day of your life, would you do the same thing as you plan to do? You accepted the invitation of Jesus. How merciful He's been, given us so great and wonderful blessings. If you're subject of any, in any way to the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and while we sing.